Good night, good evening, good day, everyone, and welcome to, I believe it might be our 51st, 2nd, or 53rd podcast. I don't know, but we're definitely in our 50. We're Metro, we're on Centrum Silver, okay, right about now. So if we forget some shit, it's what we do, okay?
All right.
Welcome to our first podcast, I think, in the new 2016 clay court season. Somebody have their television on, and I don't know who it is. I know it ain't me because I don't have cable. I'm a bitch in the budget, but somebody got to take it.
Tangerine's co-workers.
Oh, my God. You totally knew. Yeah. Exactly right.
Tell those bitches that even though they're being paid to be there, they need to shut up,
shut the fuck up. We busy. Let
somebody go for a cigarette break, a coffee break, or go to the bathroom, okay? Just get away from you.
I'll fix it for you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Now, let me take care of a little housekeeping, people. So, welcome to our early 50s podcast, and we're happy to have you here. And it's just us girls here this evening, and reels, because apparently, you know, that other guy. And we have no guests here, and we're so happy that we had two wonderful guests, I think, in our last two podcasts, Richard Ng and Kumar Murray. I want to thank my lovely co-host. This is Andrine from Soli Tennis Travel.
Hello.
She brought in Kamal Murray, and last but not least, our Cato Killing Off podcast, Shanina, from somewhere in Ohio.
Hello.
Through her tireless efforts, she got Richard Ng, even though she thinks he's in future time to get on our podcast. And we're so happy too for all our efforts. And we are recording again for the umpteenth time because of technical difficulties. And again, people, let me tell you, we are bitches on a budget. Please help fix the Reels Tennis Podcast. Okay? Help make it a real live interactive experience where we got no technical difficulties. Because I almost became Gregor Dimitrov yesterday. I swear to God. I almost broke my computer. I was going to be like, I thought about it, and I picked that shit up, and I was like, you know what? Don't be an asshole, Reels. Don't be an asshole. You got no money to buy a new one. So you know what? Put it down. Put it down. Have a seat. So, ladies. So, we're in the full swing of the 2016 clay court. And I tell a lie. I told a lie. We definitely did a podcast with Monte Carlo. And so that was real clay, right? That counts, right?
No, it's an exhibition, right?
Okay. Oh, yes. It was an exhibition. Because Joker had to bike home. I can't believe we forgot to mention that. I don't even know. I mean, sure. That was my favorite Monte Carlo moment. Joker biking home after losing to Yuri Vissella. That's just it. Anyway, okay. So, ladies, we are in the full swing of things, and the ladies have not had two of the best kickoff players for the last 3-4 years. I know it to be seen, Serena and Maria. Serena got a fever, or perhaps she got lemonade-itis, and Maria, well, she got Meldonia. So, so Wana said, girl, you need to take a seat. You need to have a seat. So, the ladies, I don't know. I don't want to be the one to say it, but, you know, I just think, you know, the ladies haven't really brought it so far this clay court season. Is it just me saying that? Or am I being unfair?
It's been unpredictable, that's for sure. To say the least. I mean, fuck. Stozer pulled out of a final.
No.
Yeah, no. She did.
No.
Semis, no?
No. Semis. No, hold on. Gotta gong you, Janina, because you're having selective amnesia.
Maybe.
Stozer didn't pull out. Your girl Kuzi pulled out of the semifinals.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
But, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought that...
Not maybe, though.
Oh, no, Stosa got beaten in the final.
Stosa got beaten in the final. Yeah, she lost to, I forgot who now.
Safarova.
Realistically, let's talk about that. Let's talk about you losing to Lucy, who hasn't strung together match wins in months.
Oh, let me even be more precise. Safashova hadn't won a match all year long until she came to Czech Republic.
Good for her. That Prague. I don't know. Food. Sometimes being at home, get food that you like, people that you like, and suddenly you remember that you
can bike home if you want to, you know, you don't have to go far, you know. But, you know, again, precisely what you said last podcast, Andreen, because I surprisingly did watch that match. what you said last podcast about Stosur, it's the same thing that happened. She won the first set, you know, you should have been Hadley Lucy, and then all of a sudden, you know, she forgot how to tennis, you know. That full hand was just two-hand. It was just a mess all over the place. And her superior fitness, which I don't understand. Sam Stosur always looked fit to me. She's not the kind of person that I think, God, she's going to get tired of her, you know. Oh, she's moving. She's lazy. She's like, you know, she looks a fit girl, a woman. And I didn't understand what was going on. But, you know, kudos to Safasheva for getting to the finals, winning some matches in home country, and taking the title. You know what? Points, you know, she needs those points. And she definitely needed confidence because she was the defending French Open finalist. So, congrats, Lucy.
Can we talk about the fact that everybody and their mothers are getting titles except for the former kings and queens of the sport?
Well, they have to play.
I know.
The former kings and queens
get titles, and you know they ain't been around.
True.
I mean, what do you do with that?
These titles are not donation cards.
Nicholas Almagro has a title. Diego Schwartzman has a title.
I'm telling you, 2016 is the year of the scrubs.
I need to repeat it. I need to rewound it. I really do. Can we start it over? Can we start 2016 over?
No.
You don't want to start it over? I feel like this year has been a non-starter. Like, I keep waiting to be excited by tennis. And I didn't even know I was this connected to seeing Federer, Venus, and Serena around. But without them, I'm just like, what's going on here? What?
I agree.
Well,
that hole has yet to be filled.
I think the problem
and Sharapova, my favorite Meldonian person. I mean, she was my number one. Even Sharapova's loss is kind of like I miss the screeching. I miss the cold eyes, the cold stares.
the fire, the intensity. You know. She brought, you know, those bad fashion that she think is cute, you know.
I don't know. I miss that.
You know what you're missing? You're missing the tour staples.
Yes, I really am. I mean, I feel like I'm missing bread and butter. You know, I mean, I don't mind the newbies doing their thing. Listen, more power to them. We always talk about next round money is, you know, best money. But still, it feels like the tours, both tours are in transition. And I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling any of the transition.
Because it's not an exciting transition. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of stupid. Because it's happening the right way. It's not fun when, you know, you've got Serena and Beyonce butt bounce, and then next week she's on Instagram or Snapchat talking about, I got a cold. Bitch, you ain't got a cold. You just don't feel like playing tennis. At least tell the truth.
Well, you know, she's an elderly statesman when she's 34. I am not mad at no 34-year-old trying to tell me they don't feel like getting up in the morning and play tennis. You know, they just don't. You know,
I'm mad at both of them. I'm mad at them because, listen, I need them to help me transition the newbies better. I don't want them to disappear from the tour in the transition process.
Right.
I want them to
right.
still be around
right.
as the others are doing their thing.
Well,
it feels like they disappeared abruptly, really. Right?
Well, it's not that it feels that way. That's what happened.
Yeah, right?
Motherfuckers keep talking about, I'm coming back here, I'm playing. Oh, shit, not gonna do it. You know, it's stupid.
I'm very angry. People were really sad when, you know, Federer withdrew. And you know what? Can I say, this is like a mark of how things have changed for me, because he withdrew and I wasn't even surprised. I mean, on one hand, that's great, right? Because that means the transit, I'm fully ready now. I'm happy to see him when he comes back, but I'm also not expecting anything. And this is like every single Federer withdrawal that he should have done many years past, all collapsing within the last
You know, that perfect months. Record. Yeah. That perfect record.
You know what I mean? I mean, the thing is, he still has his perfect record, but the withdrawals are just ridiculous.
Look. You know,
he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 this year.
Wait, hold on. I tell you what this is. You know when you've worked at a company for really long?
Yeah.
You can cash in. You can cash in some shit. Right? You can cash in
his sick bank is really big.
You can cash in, you know, like all those overtime you did. You know, you cover somebody's shift and you worked overtime.
Yeah, he's totally taking all his sick days.
I'm telling you. I'm sure Mark is like, And then Charlene and Maya are just like, Daddy, what you doing here?
Why are you here so much?
Yeah,
or Venus. I mean, like, favorite Venus. It's like, I mean, when's the last time we saw Venus?
I mean, at least show up and lose the first round like normal.
No. Stop that. I rebuke that madness. Look, I'm just about to say, you know, like, you can tell that I'm a real hardcore Venus Ebony Style Williams fan because I feel like I've been to this moment already. You know what I mean? So I just enjoy
the fact that she's like 80. She's done this 5 times.
No, we haven't been through this moment. You know why? Because Venus and Federer set us up. Federer had a fantastic 2015, relatively.
Yeah, that fucker.
Yeah, and then Venus did the same thing too. So they had us on a high, and now they come back and they're like, listen,
we had expectations.
Basically, 2015 broke both of them, obviously. Their bodies are like, listen, it took too much for me to hang with these young kids.
In 2014, I remember Venus and Raja won Dubai.
It's the best like week of my life.
Right. I remember watching all those. particular Federer versus Berdych. You know, Berdych
was trying.
Berdych was trying it. He was trying to come for Federer.
He always
but Federer wasn't having it. And I remember, you know, I wrote a piece and I was like talking about the fact that, you know, like, oh my God, Venus and Raja won and they're like 32, 33. Like, this is crazy. They're still hanging with the boys. And then I said, you know, but you know what? How long might they be around? Like, they both say, you know, like when they will not hear the word retirement in any sort of press conversation. And I was like, you know, but I should enjoy these moments. You know, I shouldn't feel like, you know, I really want to get up every day and be like Venus and Roger for Wimbledon, you know, 2007, that magic moment, 2005, that magic moment
but
when
again,
they both won Wimbledon. But you know what?
In order to get up for those moments, they have to play.
But that was 10 years ago. That was nearly 10, 11 years ago.
But no, but it really wasn't because it was happening last year.
But they won't win in Wimbledon. Look.
I mean, it didn't matter. They had like a nice, they had such a nice peak, a nice strong peak that they led us to believe that, yeah, maybe they might
not
be slammed.
They weren't that close to it. Just
but
one moment,
they would at least be consistent. Now, maybe if all of this pain and suffering going through is going to yield a slam for one of our faves this year, fine. I will suck it up. I will be like, you know what, God, that's fine that you took them out for 5 months in the beginning of the year.
You were resting up your body. You were saving it for one last.
Well, you better win everything from here on out.
You better, because look, that's everything. All I'm saying. I'm just saying that I'm having a little bit of a problem as a fan. Not that I don't care about tennis. Obviously, if it's on, I'll watch it. I care. But it's a little challenging when you just can't expect to see your faves every now and then. Like, just a little bit. Here, come up.
You know what you two ladies sound like? You sound like the voices in my head when I'm watching Venus Williams match. I'm like, this is me. This is me like, yeah, girl, you're down 2 breaks. But you know what? You're down love 3. You're winning 6 straight games right about now. 6 straight games.
Are you making bargains with God?
Exactly. You know, I mean, like, you know. Allegedly. My first child is for sacrifice. Is up on the sacrificial lamb bid if Venus wins another slab.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
I hear how I'm crazy.
I
still see Venus winning Australian Open and French Open. I still see that in my head.
Listen,
I don't know if I need to do some Meldonium.
I'm about to rein you back in.
I just so went off our agenda. Sorry.
It didn't happen.
But you know what?
Rein it in.
It was how I was feeling.
But you know what? But you know what, Andreen? Tennis
we're
was
here
in
for the fields.
2011. And you know what? This is Joker time. This is Joker time, lady.
It ain't even. He ain't even playing either.
Joker time.
Wait, he's in Madrid?
He is, but I feel like he's like almost emotionally missing as well. Do you know? It's weird. I don't know. Something's up.
It's the tennis apocalypse.
Because you know what it is? I think Djokovic has learned his lesson. Because in 2011, even in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, he was definitely the man to beat that Roland Garros.
Yeah. Do you see how quickly they sub in Rafa? Dear Lord.
You know, he was the man to beat. And you know what? You know, he kept meeting some Swiss rolls, fucking him over. I mean, like, sometimes I think he doesn't mind losing to the Rafa, but you know what, even then, because he knew he was playing the better tennis coming into when he lost to Rafa at the French Open. And then last year, you know what, he beat Rafa finally, and convincingly too.
I knew that boat didn't bode well. I was like, this too.
And convincingly too, you know what I mean? And it's just, that was really emotional high. And then he went into the finals, and he won the first set, and he felt, ooh, this shit was mine. And then Stanley remembered how to play tennis. And then he just forgot. He just lost his way. So I think he's trying to keep his emotion in check.
I think not roll up in there all smug and ready for the title.
Plus, you know, I mean,
So what do you
let's
say?
Let's be fair, too. Every time he's opened his mouth and ad-lib, he's been in a lot of shit. So, you know what?
Well,
keep his mouth shut. Look all the mood. And just keep it pumping. It's all about the tennis coach, you know what I mean? And somebody put a muzzle on Boris Becker. Because every time Boris opened his mouth, you're in the shit. So maybe that's what's happening now for the Serbian.
Well, let's kind of. So what's happened? Like, we've had some results. Anything startling? We said Lucy won.
I would say that, you know, that the ladies have been a little. You know, I'm being fair. You know, we pick winners every week, and I would say for the past couple of weeks, the men have, you know, not Kei Nishikori, not Kate, but the men have been, you know, they've been delivering the drama. You know, whether it's Diva Dahl lawsuits or Diva Dahl winning two titles, two legit titles. She's won what, 1,500 points.
Wow.
1,500 points in 2 weeks. I'm telling you, that's more points than he's won.
So that's can we because I trust you both so much.
Yeah, you're fucked.
I know. I trust you two more than I trust the punditries. Because realistically, people want me to believe that the only difference between Rafa this year and Rafa for the last 2 years is that he's gotten his emotions in check. Seriously, that's the analysis.
Well, I'm not buying that.
His emotions are.
I'm sorry. I mean,
I'm not allowed to say in public what I really think.
Okay. Thanks, Janina.
Thanks, Janina. So it's down to real to create the drama here.
Yeah, get on it.
No, honest to goodness, guys. Listen, paint the context here. Because now, I mean, listen. Novak Djokovic has been winning everything since sliced bread. They just did a poll, I think, on one of these general sites. Who is the man to beat at Roland Garros? Who's suddenly in the running? Rafa Nadal. How is it possible?
No. Listen here. First of all, Rafa is never not in the running to win Roland Garros.
Yeah.
He's never not there. I don't care what he has or hasn't won going in. That is Rafa's house, and you have to rip it from his dead cold hands.
Apparently you don't have to because whoever's beaten Rafa have never won the title.
Well, there you go. but he's always been there.
Yeah.
But because he's all of a sudden playing well on clay and won these two big titles, people want to remember who he is. He hasn't gone anywhere. Everyone has dips in their career. Every single person. Even the lovely Serbian devil. We just saw him lose a couple weeks ago to an essential nobody. Everybody dips. Sometimes they last a little bit longer than others. And this has been a longer lull for Rafa for whatever reason. I mean, come on. You'd never count that man out at Roland Garros. Ever, ever. You're stupid if you do. You're stupid.
Well, you know what? I mean, like,
why is he back? Why is he back? Let's pretend to be technicians. Why is he back? What's he doing differently? I'm totally putting y'all on the spot, but I'm just I honestly don't see a real difference. He's still not getting short balls.
I would say that in some ways that the because of the chatter of Nadal, the men have sort of like, you know, oh, this is Nadal. You know, this is Diva Dal and Clay again, you know, this is the great Diva Dal. And they haven't put it to him. I mean, Dominic Thiem had about a million break points.
Yeah.
And just ridiculous and played stupid. He's beatable. I do not see him as being invincible on clay. And for the first time, I do wonder, can he really last three sets, best of five sets, for seven rounds at the French Open? I do wonder about that. Because he's feeling himself, and he's going to play Monte Carlo, he's played Barcelona, if I'm saying it correctly or incorrectly. He's definitely going to play Madrid, and he's going to play Rome, and he's going to look to win those titles. And that is a lot of tennis that he's played. And albeit that this is his usual thing, but Rafa is no longer 19. He's no longer 20.
No, he's no longer 19 or 20 or even 25.
And, you know,
he's a confidence player. The more he wins, the more you better watch out at Roland Garros.
But, you know, again, I do think, you know, the scrubs are in it to win it. You know, scrubs are not trying to sit around. Andrew Kobo.
They are, but you know what? A Grand Slam is a whole new ball game.
I understand that, but everybody wants a scalp.
Sure, but he's been there a million times. He knows how to handle it. You know, he knows that if he's patient enough in that type of a match, best of five, and he's playing a younger, inexperienced player, he's probably going to come out on top. I mean, that's just the way the world works. It is. Unless you get somebody who's just having one of those fearless moments and is like, you know what, not today, Rafa, then they have a chance. I'm not going to say that they're going to do it, but they have a chance because he is one of the most fittest people on tour. We know that he can play for hours upon hours. I think he probably, as he's gotten older, just like everyone else, has a more difficult time doing that day in and day out. But, I think Rafa's fine. I don't know that I would go as far as to say he's back, you know, to the level where, you know, everyone does fear him on clay, because obviously they don't. We see, but at the end of the day, see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that Dominic Thiem had all of those chances because he didn't get them. He didn't take them.
Because the year before, if he had had that many chances, he would have taken them. So is it? Maybe the thing is that Rafa's confidence is allowing him to just muscle his way through those tough moments.
He's toughing it out, yes. Whereas a year ago, he wasn't doing it. He was fading. I mean, you know what? One of the biggest things that you can tell where Rafa's game is at, how he serves on big points. How many times over the last year and a half have we seen him lose a game because he double faulted on a break point.
Yeah.
You know, we used to never see that. He's not the best server anyways, but he's a great server. You know, he's definitely up there. He's amongst...
And his serve is always slightly... His serve is predictable because his patterns are predictable.
Sure, but it's all about placement and, you know, but when he starts hitting them balls in the bottom of the net and he can't even get it over, that's when the person on the other side needs to be aware, and that's when they need to pounce, because that's when Rafa's down. But we're not seeing that as much.
Right, but I hear all of that, but, you know, I still don't see a game or something from Rafa or Diva Dal, if I stand corrected, that tells me that he can beat Nole.
He's not going to.
I don't see anything like that.
Nole lives on a different planet. We have to talk about everybody else.
Well, but the other thing, too, is that everybody else, I think, who is capable of, in the top 10, who might be capable of doing it, one, neither have the muscle nor the muster to do it. So those who have the muscle don't have the muster. Those who have the muster just don't have the muscle. Like, Federer has a bad back. So he cannot last Rafa if he meets him somewhere in a best of five sets.
Right.
Berdych, who probably could do something with Will tendency. Tsonga is injured. And interesting enough, do you know that David Goffin is very close to being in the top 10?
Yeah, I can see that, though.
And he probably could give Rafa a run for his money, but I don't think he has the muster to do it. But, however, I do think that somebody outside, Rafa will have struggle. I see it, that, you know, that I think all of this tennis that he's, because he needs it, and it's very emotional, right? He doesn't go into matches anymore, particularly this year, with this sort of confidence and aura of invincibility. He's going into every match this year knowing that he needs to win this match. It is a must. Couple of years ago, if Rafa doesn't win a title, we don't really care, because when he gets to Roland Garros, he's going to be solid. But I don't see that in him this year. I think he's going to play he needs to win all these matches. His fans need him to win all these matches, for sure. And when he gets to Roland Garros, he might just wipe out, because he's not that 19-20, only 21-23-year-old anymore.
No, I don't think he's going to wipe out.
I don't think he's going to wipe out. But I think it just depends on how much people make him work.
I imagine
the scrubs on if he gets through the first week. You know, and I say he depends on which side of the draw he is with. If he's on Nole's side, the draw he gets through the first week, it's a wash, right? He's not getting anywhere. But if he's on the other side of the draw, then he gets through the first week, because I think it has to be a scrub to get it. Because, to be honest with you, he hasn't made the second week of a major since only French Open last year.
But I think he'll be making the second week of the French. I mean, you know, Rafa's definitely feeling himself on his favorite surface. And all the people who are his challengers are allowing him to feel himself. You know, Kei Nishikori, who almost beat Rafa, on clay, was no match for him, really, this time around. Even though the scoreline was close, I just never had the sense that Rafa felt like he had anything to worry about with Kei.
Oh, you know, definitely Kei does Kei. The same definitely thing. Kei.
You know, Kei starts out well and then fades. Maybe he'll be prepared to do that better in a Grand Slam. I don't really know. I don't know why you wouldn't try it in three sets, but who knows?
Well, I think the longer that he continues to do well leading up to Paris,
the better.
I don't think it's going to hinder him one bit that he's played too much, for lack of a better term. I don't think that's going to bother him at all. I think that's exactly what he needs, because he is a confidence player. He's not going to go in there tired. He may, you know, feel a little bit more worn out, but he's not going to be tired. He is going to show up. Rafa is a beast.
And also, let's be honest, what is he playing for except to grab that Roland Garros title again? He knows his chances are the best there. Go be exhausted there, and then, you know, crack out at Wimbledon as is the habit, and then possibly return and have a good hard court summer. I mean, my sense of it is just go hard. Go hard if you want to. I mean, I think there might be some – I don't really see him taking the Madrid title this week for some reason, because,
because Nole's there?
No, but you know what? Because traditionally, even though he's won the title, it's not the most.
You don't like it there.
Yeah, it's not the most comfortable clay for him. I think that if he encounters somebody who's feeling themselves, he could be vulnerable, which will only be beneficial to him too, right? Because then it gives him time to rest up.
Yeah.
And go to Rome, which has a much more comparable clay and much better preparation for Roland Garros. So it's also, I have a feeling that this week is not some sort of a stake week. You know, it's funny, like, people are like, oh, everybody's back this week, and so, but Madrid is like the outlier clay.
It's like the ugly redheaded stepchild.
You know, believe me, I was in the UK, but I just don't feel like
not
it's a stake clay.
Clay court wins, okay? You will not have a blue clay court.
No, absolutely not. Listen, absolutely not. That blue clay, you know, the one thing that we can say about what happened with blue clay is that it really demonstrated the one thing that Fed, I think, does better than most of his colleagues, which is that he just has stick-to-itiveness. You know what I mean? He He mans up when it calls for him.
No, Andrew.
He puts his head down.
This is what it is. This is what Federer does better than all of his colleagues, peers, whatever. He is one of the only... Yes, drum roll, please.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the only remaining men on tour who has the ability to truly play on different types of surfaces.
Well,
and what happened in Madrid with that blue clay, it wasn't uniform with everything else. And lo and behold, the motherfuckers didn't like it. You know why they didn't like it?
Because it was going to disturb them different. From RG.
It was different. You know, people forget that we truly used to have four very different surfaces. And Federer and probably, okay, let's think about
this. And Berdych, the people Federer, who did well there, they grew up playing different surfaces.
So, you know, the Federer, Berdych, Serena, Venus, these are the people who are left that won all of these different places and played on them throughout their career and have changed with them. Well, everybody else, it's like, you know...
They learned to adjust. They sucked it up. They all sucked it up. Those four sucked it up.
I mean, there's not that much difference anymore. There isn't. Where is there truly a fast hard court? A true fast hard court?
Dubai and Shanghai.
But how many? Okay, but look. But how many are we supposed to have?
They're all supposed to be very different. But yeah, I mean, that's really those are legitimately the faster surfaces.
O2 Arena and Dubai.
No. O2 Arena is not fast at all.
Not anymore, but it used to be.
I mean, I do believe that that's what happened in that time period. It was really because it was so funny because everyone was so focused on Roland Garros that they couldn't actually deal with the surface. And yes, there were problematic things with it. It was slippery, it was patchy, it was all of those things. But hello, that's supposed to be a natural surface,
ball.
Right?
We can see the ball.
But no, like you just said, that's supposed to be the beauty of playing on different surfaces, being able to adjust
Hot
and
bounces.
Win. Yes. And it may not have always been pretty, but that's truly, you know, that used to be one of the appeals of tennis.
I know. But people want consistency now because they want to be able to wrap up a series of wins all back to back. Which is why in some ways I didn't mind Madrid being the outlier, even though it's challenging for people, because it really is different. It's not a replication of anything they're going to see in Rome. So I don't mind it.
Yeah.
But, and you know, the altitude makes the ball fly in some wonky ways. And you get weird. And it's one of the few tournaments where you actually get really weird and off-color results. You know, Andy Murray winning, Novak winning, Federer winning. I mean, it's like, actually, truly.
Y'all are just shading all these... Look, y'all are even coming for Andy. Like, he's a new daddy, okay?
Whatever.
Recently clay crown. Look, Andy's with the French.
I don't know. I have a feeling that Madrid is just going to be... I don't think Madrid is going to be...
Well, it's already a mess for the ladies. So.
Well, definitely, right? I mean, who was the top seed? Aga? Was Aga the top seed?
Right, yeah, she is now. Did she win?
No, she lost. She got beaten.
She got beaten.
I think
the bulk of her, right? And I her tricks and whatever, but the bulk of her run it down.
let me do what I do, which is I'm going to interrupt you.
Well, you know, hey, whatever. Madrid, we'll see, right? We'll see.
But, you know, as we're here, you know, we're talking about men's and whatever, you know, congratulations, Janina.
Hey, boo.
This week, you get to the surf and turf. Your man, Filippo Serra, won a title in Munich. I was going to make up a different
word. I don't think any... I know. Janina, you're doing well. None of my guys are around.
The only consolation I have is that my scrub, Pablo Carreño Busta, made it to a final, but he lost to Nicolas Almagro, but you know. And I watched your boo take on, you know, Dominic Thiem in the Munich final.
But really, talk about the best part of that.
Philippe Courtois couldn't close out a match, couldn't close out a set. Like, you give it. But, you know, you're right. Talk about, you know how we here at Reels love the LGBT community? Because Reels is LGBT. And lo and behold, who should I clock in the stands for Dominic Team but a genuine 100%, and nobody tell me anything, I'm trying to be funky about this, a bona fide homosexuality in the box for Dominic Team.
Everyone. And so, everyone.
And I am so happy that, I mean, like, I don't know who you are, mister, but I'm telling you, you give me life for that final. I'm telling you. You give me life. Because, you know what? I kept saying...
The hair flip gave me life.
Oh, my God. That moment
when you... If
haven't
seen it...
Yes. I forget what the... Oh, my God.
J.D.D. Tennis at J.D.D. Tennis.
Yes.
It's his
He
hand.
Had a wonderful jiff. And I'm telling you...
Go look at that shit.
For us homosexuality men out there, we know that moment when we're out there, we're feeling ourselves and we're getting... And what's the word I should use? You know, when we're feeling that, we get in all a little too gay. And then we realize, oh, someone's watching us. You're just going to be like, you know, got to make that flip, that flip,
oh,
right?
No,
you know, from
no.
that femme to masculine. You know, look, I don't give a shit, you know, in touch with the feminist side. I'm not here to discuss that. I do believe that this whole mask bullshit and you know, peace to femme bullshit is madness, okay? We're gay, we're queer. Just get over it, people. Just let them deal, because no matter what...
You like penis. That's at the
you
end
You like
day.
Penis. And you're the man how, who likes yeah. penis. And that is not your own. People will not like you no matter what. People would have problems with that. So
don't
have a problem with the fact that you like penis, other people's penises. Just deal with it and move on with the struggle, you know? And live life like that guy was. And he was... Oh... You know, and plus, he was giving us real raw emotion. You know, a mother could be a little stoic. Or when she gets off, she gets fiery off, and she's trying to cut the motherfucker across the net. But, you know, this player, this fan, Dominic Team, I don't know who he is, you know, but, you know, you'd have to bring him more to your matches, okay? I am checking out your boxes every single match. Just to find out, just to
see. We're looking for him, or okay. someone just like him.
Yeah,
everyone should have someone like him in their box.
Let's just say, though, I think tennis boxes, as an aside, I think the tennis boxes could do with a little bit more variety.
You know what?
They could do with a little bit more color, and I yes. also appreciate the LGBT. I mean, find some black friends, people. Bring them up.
Hey, we are available. We here at the Reels Crew, we are available to sit in your box to provide TV entertainment and a little diversity.
Let's be honest. Isn't this the only reason why Janina watches Benoit Paire matches now? It's because Benoit Paire's girlfriend's so beautiful. Isn't that why you watch his matches?
She's hot, man. I like fucking. that's a nice lady.
I mean, look.
Come to me.
This might be so problematic for some people, but you know what?
A little bit of color.
This is why diversity is such a wonderful, beautiful thing. I mean, like, if you go to a match, like, you know, like Davis Cup. When you go to Davis Cup, completely different atmosphere. And you bring the lie. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that, you know, people should be all loud and carry. The U.S. Open, people are too fucking loud over there. But I'm just saying, you know, you kind of, the boxes are like, it's like a funeral. They're awake.
Yeah, a box is a part of the entertainment. Your box
exactly.
is also part.
You know what I mean?
And Dominic Team, we appreciate your box this week. That's what
Hold
we're
on,
saying.
Caveat, please. Caveat
what?
Your box should be part of the entertainment, not the player to the box should be the entertainment, okay? Nick,
no?
I'm talking to you, okay? Don't be like, I need to cheer for that fucking point, okay, Nick? Keep your bipolarism shit to yourself, okay?
Aww. Oh, I forgot
it's
you
the
died.
Box
and Dr.
To the
Real.
Tennis that I'm advocating for, okay? Not the player to the box. Because that going all the time with cheating. Okay? Communication. Rafa, you got clocked in Monte Carlo, Rafa. Too much conversating going on here, Rafa. Too much conversating. I know it's not a good... Conversating is not a real word before the Rodney Vidal fans try to come for me. I know it's converse. But you know what? For the purpose of this podcast, and for the fact what Rafa was doing, that was conversating, okay?
That was just shady.
You know, I know that too.
No, you know what? I think Rafa just needed his uncle, you know, to sort of gently push him, prod him on. You could do this, son.
The umpire
I'm sure that's what he was saying.
No, the umpire was just like, this is too much. This is like coaching. No. We can't. We can't do this. Rafa tried to say something, but you know what? He was like, The umpire will give him a side eye and be like, bitch, don't try it today. We not
happy. What else happened in the finals this weekend?
Istanbul happened and Grigor Dimitrov happened. Did he ever happen?
Give us the drama, Janina.
Motherfucker lost his shit. Lost his shit. And it was glorious to watch because you know I love that shit. I love a good meltdown. And he had the meltdown that probably will end up being the meltdown of the year. I mean, something really major is going to have to happen.
We're going to have to put that on our list. We have to put that on our list. Our favorite.
Yeah, the meltdown of the year. Because somebody somewhere didn't get the rackets right. That's the only explanation I can come up with. He had all kinds of strings breaking. Something like 4 or 5 strings broke. And he just got very frustrated, and he started breaking racket after racket. But not all in a row. It wasn't Marcos Baghdatis style, where he sat on the bench and just kept pulling them out and beating them. You know, that didn't happen. It was gonna smash a racket. And they were brilliant racket smashes. Brilliant. And broke
he
it.
He turned a 10 on that. I like those.
Absolutely.
You know, in that moment when I saw the racket smashing, I thought to myself, now this player might actually get my attention.
Yeah.
There was a lot of energy behind it. There was real focus. There was sort of like a sort of macho. There was like a macho bit there. Not temper tantruming.
Who has a white slimline telephone? Who's that?
We already know. Back off.
Someone's calling in to say that I need to step away from Grigor Dimitrov. I'm just trying to say that in this self-destructive moment, Grigor Dimitrov was quite attractive. Look,
I wouldn't have that if I saw that kind of passion and energy and focus and energy on a couple points. Just a couple points. Bye. Okay?
At the
Diego
end of the day,
man bagel in you, you have no excuse.
No.
Don't tell me shit. You're upset. You're up 5-2, and Diego Schwartzman just basically ran away with what? Let me see, 3, 4, 6, 10 of the last 11 games, and the tiebreaker? Girl, no. Diego Schwartzman's like 5-2. Like, what's happening? Grigor, you're 6-3.
Well,
that ain't right.
Diego
has more heart. In like a completely Hollywood movie style way of thinking and talking, I mean, Diego just had more fight and belief. Like, honestly, he had more of a mental goal in his mind. Assuming that he was like, I want to get this, and maybe Grigor was like, I don't want to lose this.
I heard something that I'd never heard before. Tell me what you think of this. At the beginning of the meltdown stage, in the end of the second set, when Grigor started cramping, it was on Tennis Channel. I honestly don't know who the commentators were. I have no idea.
Can you put cramping in quotation marks, please? Inverted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's okay. My point. The commies were saying that the cramping was mental. Then he was cramping because he couldn't focus.
Hormones.
And that he was just breaking down. I've never heard of such a thing. Do we have mental cramps now? I mean, brain cramp maybe, but do our bodies really start cramping up over mental focus?
Hormones.
Is that real?
It's real. Think about it. Think about fear. Fear is a mental thing, right? That's what happens. And then it translates into something real and very physical.
So it was a psychosomatic symptom?
Most likely, because you know what's interesting is quite a few times people, this isn't new, Janina, this analysis, a few times people will look at someone cramping and they will say, I've seen it in a couple tennis matches, that's not a real cramp. That's an emotional reaction that person's having and it's showing up in their body as a cramp.
It happens in other sports as well, too.
Maybe if the commentators would use intelligent wording such as psychosomatic, I would be able to better understand.
Girl. You know, most of these commies
are ex-tennis
players.
I know, that's asking a little bit too much.
And don't have a
college.
You know, as Serena said, they don't have, this is what happens when you don't have a formal education.
Well, I mean, so do you buy into that? Do you think that's what that
well,
happen?
Okay, since we have been able to talk it out and put it in an intelligent way, yes, I can totally understand that. But as I was hearing it on TV, I was like, I'm calling bullshit on that. I don't even like how they're saying it. But talking about it, you know, differently and using the proper terminology, I totally can get it. Yeah, I'm sold.
Hey, look, I was about to say, should we call Bosch on Grigo's career at this point? We should just know he's just a Bulgarian handbag, right? Just seek out, you know, successful or moderately successful women, older women out there, and, you know, attach himself, you know, like a cheap costume jewelry on
you
there.
You know what? Stop right there. Grigor, you know when he's going to start doing well? When he admits who he is and gets himself an expensive man bag.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That's your analysis. Janina!
This is real. You know what? Moving on. So, that's the bomb for the day, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bomb.
I mean, it's a ridiculous bomb that will.
Dude,
like Rafa sues people.
But let me just say, Janina. Yes. I would have topped that a while ago, but somehow Grigo just got uglier to me. I don't know what it is.
It doesn't mean he isn't gay.
I'm just saying that, you know, I would have tapped that a while ago, but no. Mm-mm.
Okay.
He ain't living his truth, so, you know, I'm not with that, you know.
So, moving on.
So basically, your final analysis, you two nutters, is that Igor Dimitrov had a psychosomatic incident that led to cramping, and that the only resolution for him is for him to see his truth and emerge out from under the very many women that he's sleeping with or
sounds good to me.
Hanging with, and then like just simply go on his own. All right. You all are
back. But you know what? On a serious tennis note, the way Grigo is conducting himself, I think he may get a seed at the French Open. He may be 31, 29, somewhere around there. But then remember, I was close around. he doesn't look prepared to me.
He looks a hot fucking mess.
Like, I don't understand this. You lost to Rajiv Ram earlier this year.
Here we go.
Rajiv Ram. Leave Rajiv Ram alone.
Hey, Andrew, remember about 5 minutes ago when you said, you guys are the ones I trust?
Yeah, I'm going to pull that
Would
back.
Would you like to revisit it. That?
I'm revisiting this.
Janina, you just threw my confidence away. My self-esteem was built up. And now you take it all away. Now, come on.
I hope for Grigor's sake that he doesn't read Raja Rashid's timeline, because I'm sure Raja Rashid went in on him after looking at the whole meltdown. But, you know, I mean, you know what, though? But let's just all say congratulations to Diego, because Schwartzman got his first title. It came as a result of a meltdown, but guess what? The meltdown was actually perpetrated by Diego's resistance. He didn't go away.
And he took it. And he didn't have a meltdown of his own. Sometimes when the player crosses it, when the top player is playing horrible tennis, the other player decides, you know, like, you know what?
I can't even do you
out here. You know what I mean? So Diego, and those 250 points is going to save you some qualification rounds, get you into some main draws, get you some money. And, you know, if you go that way, might get you some ladies, you know. Some ladies be like, oh, he got a title. Hey, girl. Hey,
might
puppy.
Might be on our top six list.
Oh, my God. Can I interrupt for a moment to say that Maria Sharapova is all about the shade? Why did Maria Sharapova go to the Met Gala and take a picture with Lewis Hamilton? Girl, why are you shading? Why are you talking to Grigor's ex's ex? Come on. Girlfriend's ex.
She ain't got nothing better to do.
Who knows?
But my serious question for you, Maria, is can you handle the real thing? This is a black man, all right? Do you know what to do with that? I'm
just listen.
Just saying.
Maria doesn't have anything better to do because she is not going to be on the list of athletes who have been excluded from the doping ban because the meldonium in their system was at very minimal levels. She's not the one. So she has to she has to find something to do with herself.
But you know
she's going to be out of the game for a little while longer.
Andre, no tea, no shade. She might know what to do, but you definitely know one thing, though. She got the stamina.
Meldonium.
Booyah. Booyah.
No. Did we lose Meldonium as a sponsor?
Yeah, I think we did. Apparently, you know, the sponsors, the actual makers of Meldonium, it's backtracking and trying to say some shit. Like, you know, it ain't for now. It doesn't give all of the shit.
Oh, it's denying all the claims that it made previously, which allowed us to take it on as like,
I swear Meldonium is probably some after-dinner mint. Because
Fine.
It ain't for the diabetic, though. It ain't for magnesium. It ain't for heart medication, apparently, if so many people are taking this shit. I don't know what it is. And apparently, it ain't vitamins or vitamins.
Vegemite.
And so I swear it has to be some after dinner. I mean, when you take all of your protein shake and whatnot, you swallow down, apparently in Russia, you swallow down some meldonium to give you that fresh, clean, squeaky feeling in your mouth. I don't know. But, you know, as you mentioned, Janina, the water put out as per our conversation with Richard Ng, and we talked about, you know, this is a rather unprecedented moment, where so many athletes have tested positive for a drug in such a short space of time, why do we have to revisit or do something about the situation as something, this is uncharted territory, WADA then comes out with a statement or stipulation or clarification, I think they called it, stating that, you know, before March, I think it was, if your levels were a certain point, it may be that you would be clear, because they still haven't answered the question. The question that they're having or not having correct answers on is how long meldonium remains in your system. Oh. So
you went to the Meldronaut news, huh? Yeah, I can see that. Well, that's the thing, because somebody else who just had their ban turned over, apparently he admitted to taking Meldronaut or meldonium all the way back in September. So,
it seems as though the one thing that they have managed to pin down is that if you have taken it before a certain point in time, and I believe they're using, I'm not even going to lie, I'm not sure what the reference date is. I did read it, but I don't remember. It should be at a minimal level. They're saying we're not sure what the half-life of the drug is. You know, the manufacturer says this, but basically it's just not all adding up. However, if you've got all these athletes saying basically, you know, yeah, I took it, but I stopped, and I'm still testing positive, so they had to revisit it, which we assumed was, you know, we talked about that being a very good possibility.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. But we also know that Sharapova's levels were too high, so she will not be one who is excused.
And she clearly took it this year.
And she took it this year.
I mean,
and you know what? There was a lot of debate because people wanted to play semantics and say that she didn't actually say that. Well, you know what? Yes, she did. But whatever. She did not get up on that podium and say, I took it such a date after January 1st. No, she didn't use those words, but she absolutely told us that she took it after it had been banned. However, her attorney, during that private meeting, specifically did say, yes, she took it after January 1st. So let's just put all of that to rest.
If her major excuse is that she did not know that it was banned on January 2016.
On the 2nd.
She took it after December 31st.
Yeah.
Amy Whitehall, her major defense she put out has been one of ignorance. I didn't get the email. I didn't get the information. You know, you set me up. et cetera, et cetera.
Because the truth is, you better believe, if she didn't take it during 2016 at all, not even one time, that would have been her first line of defense.
Yes, it would have been. Yeah.
Yes, I took it, but I stopped.
Or maybe also the, well, because, you know, the other thing that unfortunately happened for her is that she released information too soon, right? So she couldn't even backtrack there. But exactly. The other thing is that if she had taken it in the year prior, then maybe the dosage would in her system would have been low enough. Maybe the amount in her system would have been low enough, but unfortunately she doesn't have that recourse.
Yeah, so therefore she shows up at the Met Gala while others are in Madrid. That's it.
Well, she got nothing else to do.
Nothing to do.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least she's wearing clothes and not like her good girlfriend Chelsea Handler trying to send, oh, God.
Okay.
Ooh, no. Not talking about that.
Not talking about that. So that's the state of things with Sharapova. Okay, well, that's interesting. So we're still, I thought they had a deadline in which to make all these decisions. We're going to drag this out forever, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't know.
June, whatever. Because I think they're allowed to do their case, and then because I think she submitted information to them, if I'm not mistaken, and they reviewed the information.
Right, there's already been one hearing where she submitted her evidence, I guess we'll call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now they have time to comb through all of that and make a decision. So I believe.
And have a hearing and ask questions, I think.
Yeah, I believe the next step will give us a result of the punishment.
Next month, yes.
So, in more doping news, Novak can't keep his mouth shut. He means well. He really does mean well. But you know what? Sometimes silence is golden. Golden.
Well, or you got to get better press people. Like, you mean, when someone says, okay, someone's made a statement about doping, what's the best approach? Y'all don't sit down and say, okay, what's going to get me out of this conversation right now?
Because I ain't got time for that, lady. I'm here to get my award on.
Yeah, so, you know, Novak apparently is in the camp of there's no proof that anybody's doping, we don't have any positive tests, and therefore they're clean. All I have to say is that there have been a very long list of elite athletes who have been champions of their sport over and over and over again who never tested positive, but it later came out that they were in fact doping. And I am not saying that Nole is trying to hide anything. I'm just saying that really it's an ignorant stance to take.
Tennis doping isn't in tennis.
Do not pretend that a positive test a negative test equals a clean athlete. We cannot pretend that that's the case. It's not.
Well, the problem I'm having with that whole statement is that, you see, this is why I feel that a lot of times I'm hearing comments.
So give a little bit of context.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think this bit that Janina is mentioning with Nole is at the, I want to say, Laureus Award?
Yeah, the Laureus. The Sports Award.
Laureus. I was about to say Lazarus, but I said, that don't sound right.
Not at all.
Rise of the Dead. The Dead Rising. I don't think
you're probably. Maybe. You never know.
I mean, if Federer was getting an award, Venus probably getting an award, I'd be like Lazarus Award, right? But, you know, I mean, so someone stuck a microphone in Nola's face, and this is coming on the heels of his coach opening his mouth and getting mad because, you know, Andy Murray said, you know, like, sometimes I wonder, you know, like, not sometimes, you know, he said, I have wandered past tense, you know, not I'm wandering, you know, like he said, and I've wandered, you know, playing players across the net, if they're on something, you know, because they're not getting tired. All of a sudden, Boris Becker took that up as if, you know, that was his burden, and, you know, and he ran with that to Calvary, and spreading news like it was gospel, you know, like, how dare Andy Murray says this, or he's accusing people. Andy didn't accuse a single soul. He mentioned no name, nothing.
Nothing.
Didn't say any name, you know. And then Boris, you know, never want to, you know, to not only just put one foot in his mouth, put the other, and then his hand, and then just spew shit all over the place. And like, well, you know, everybody's clean. Andy's clean, you know, Roger's clean, Rafa's clean, you know, Nola's clean. The top guys are clean. So the top guys are clean and everybody else below them are dirty and they're still winning.
And then what happens?
They put a sticker microphone in. Oh, then he then goes, they were saying that Rafa was doping, but that isn't true. Rafa isn't doping.
Yeah, he said that. He said there's been some suspicion about Rafa. The golden piece, though, is that Andy specifically mentioned, people don't get tired. They play these long 6-hour matches and they don't get tired. And that's not natural. That's what he was talking about. And then some lovely person, I don't remember who, went back and found an old presser of Boris's from when he was a player. And lo and behold, he talked about this person being magical because they don't get tired. And that is just not natural, that you play so much and you're not tired and you recuperate so fast and boom, you're ready to go the next day. And that's just not right. I mean, hello? But apparently that doesn't apply today.
Well, Boris has shot to a memory. And I keep telling you people, tennis was invented in 2011. Get it right. Boris and Thomas Musa were playing ping pong, okay? Not tennis. But, when, what's his name, Nole got that microphone in his mouth, he made that statement that you pointed out. But, I mean, here's the thing for me. I feel like, people have stories existing and take part of the story and don't put everything in context. Because here is Nole saying, no one has ever tested positive and therefore tennis is clean. But, boo. Are we going to forget the fact that tennis has had a problematic doping control for ages? That you all have the most, like for any top-level professional sport, you all have one of the least stringent and doping control ever? That players, top elite players, complain that they're not being tested enough. And people in the top 20 can go a whole year without being tested, in particularly outer competition testing. So, You can't really have that conversation. I mean, I could pull a professional swimmer like Michael Phelps. He got a piss in a cup every week. So don't tell me that, that tennis is necessarily
clean. I mean, when you have Roger Federer coming out saying that I don't get tested enough, you don't get to say that just because people are not pissing dirty, the sport's clean.
It was just a naive comment. I mean, not a naive comment, but it was just like a thoughtless one.
It was ignorant. It was
homo.
Well, it was weird. No, but what was weird about it is that it was an odd comment for someone to say, given the fact that he critiqued the very testing system in tennis just 2 years earlier, when a compatriot from his country, which is what that means, I believe, tested or refused to test because
I'm allergic to needles.
He had a needle allergy, and so I just think that you just need to think more carefully.
Think before you speak. Didn't your mother teach you anything?
That's just.
Just say no comment, girl. I ain't here for that.
I mean, to be honest, what I appreciated in all of those commentary was Murray's comments. I thought that Murray's comments were the most realistic, sort of thoughtful, and that's the most kind of honest appraisal of a system where you can't guarantee who is or isn't clean. To be able to say, I have my own doubts, I'm not entirely certain, but now that somebody like Sharapova failed a drug test, maybe that will give the public confidence that a big person can get caught. That's like a fine statement to make, because it's a statement that any one of us would sit and say comfortably in our house. I appreciate that. Apparently, Murray's nailing it out of the park with his comments this year. I think
Somebody's listening up in here. Murray, that's why you're getting some lately.
Murray's about to try to bring us some cash this week. Janina and I need, Janina doesn't. I need some cash in my bank account this week for my top six.
Hey, so. I always need cash.
Speaking of people talking out of turn, now we also realize that Rafa Nadal has always threatened to sue for comments that have suggested or even hinted that he may not be a clean athlete, and he has finally had enough of it. He's mm-hmm. like, no more rumors, no more double talk, no more tongue-in-cheek. He's apparently suing an ex-minister... Ministress of Sport from France. Apparently the context was that she was on a talk show. She was on a talk show and she sort of barely solidly, without any sort of hemming or hawing, said, well, we all know that Rafa Nadal was on a silent ban in 2012.
Well, this was, you know, when there were all those white tears when Maria got caught doping, you know, everyone was just like, oh, no, it ain't that bad. But, we know, other people have been doping, like Thomas Hawks have been like, you need to go back and check other people, you know, like, they have been doping too, you know, so don't try to say that Maria is dirty, whatever the case may be. It was within that larger context where she then decided to spill, I don't know if it was tea, but she spilled some shit out there.
Well, she spilled that story. I hope she has backup about the right story, because if Rafa is now taking her to court.
Rafa got his receipt, okay? Rafa is telling everyone and anyone who done a test, you know, like, could you publish my receipt, please? Show them that I have now failed a test.
Yeah, and, you know, Rafa is calling for all of his tests to be made public. He is calling for his biological passport to be made public. He says, you know what? Here it is. Look at it. You're not going to do me like this. I'm tired of it. Look at my shit.
What do y'all think? What do you think about this approach?
I think the suing approach. Well, the suing approach is very American.
Tommy Hilfiger
is making influences in just more than the fashion department.
But you know what's interesting? I don't believe that no matter what, anybody's ever going to put out Rafa's tests. I don't think that's an option. I think he can call for it.
They've said it. They've already, the ITF already said that he's never failed a test. I don't think they put out.
But they're not going to publish any results. That's not going to happen. That's what I'm saying. And I think that, and I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that's just the rules. Like, we don't do that. Anybody can come and say, he failed 10 tests, he never failed any tests. Anybody can say that.
But in a code of law.
Sure, the ITF or whoever is not going to put out a public document for you and I to look at of all of Rafa's testing history because he said, show them, prove it.
Well, actually, okay,
they don't do that.
Well, the issue is that if this is a matter that's going to go to court, then he's already lifted the expectation of privacy by saying that, you know, like, I want this out there.
But that's not what's happening. I understand
that. I believe this may happen for court if this does go to court.
Well, it may. We'll see. But I don't. It doesn't work that way, though. He's like, tell them, show them. If it happens in court, okay, fine. But they're not going to just put it out there to shut somebody up. And I just feel like he knows that. And I'm not saying that I think it's one way or the other. I'm not accusing him of doping. But when you're asking for something that you know isn't going to happen, it kind of takes away the credibility of asking for it. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm coming from.
Fair point. But I don't know what to make of this. I mean, in the larger scheme of things, on the personal level, if someone is going out there and saying this, but I'm not, maybe I am naive, but I'm not sure that Rafa's reputation is being hurt by these comments. You know, that it was in any way.
Well, of course his reputation has been hurt. He has to say that. That's his claim, right?
Right.
And in some ways, he has to establish that someone saying something about him has caused some sort of harm or harm to his body or to his reputation, right? That's what he has to...
Well, and no athlete wants to be associated with that, whether it be true or not. Nobody wants that shadow over their name.
I'm not saying that he shouldn't defend his name at all, but I just feel like, you know, like, I don't know if I might be stepping on a turning, but, I mean, what she said isn't something I have not heard before. I'm not saying that it is true, but,
I was doing some casual reading, and apparently, if you bring like an anti-defamation charge against someone, it has to happen fairly quickly. Like, first of all, I think you have to do it within 3 months of the person making some sort of claim about you. Mm-hmm. And then if it happens, then everything has to be settled within days.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Within like 10 days. Like,
but the defendant,
In France.
Okay.
So the defendant has 3 months or so to appear before a tribunal and just 10 days to file evidence in their defense. So this woman has to respond fairly soon. I mean, it probably has happened already because she filed it like last week, right, or sometime.
I mean, and the other thing too is that I mean, if am I crazy and imagine that Charlie Hebdo, am I saying it correctly?
Hebdo, yeah.
Hebdo, able, if you drop the sign, it's not an aspiration age. made this comment. I mean, their magazine cover for the French Open was supposed to be Diva Nadal. This tennis athlete who looked and sort of like dressed like Nadal, pumped up with steroids, whatever. And again, I am not saying in any way that this is true or anything of that nature. I'm just simply saying that this was something that has been floating out in the ether of tennis. I guess,
well, I'm just curious why Rafa has decided to pursue this now. Because, you know, I guess he's finally hit the wall. Like, he's like, I'm done now.
Right.
I think because it has something to do with who's talking.
This all the time.
Yeah.
Acknowledging his initial statement, you know, like, I am tired of hearing this all the time. So people have been saying
it. But look at the status of the person who said it this time. I think that is what pushed it over the edge. You and I can walk around all day, every day, and say that Rafa's doping, and it's not going to have that much of an impact on Rafa. When you have someone who is essentially a world leader in some aspect speaking out against him that way, it makes a much bigger difference. I think that's what the difference is. I can't recall anybody of any importance, whether it be real or perceived importance in the world, coming out saying that they suspect Rafa of doping. I don't know of that ever happening.
No, it's always been rumors and suspicions.
Right.
Right. But you know what I find? Here we have someone who is kind of a big person.
Yeah, she was somebody in the sport.
Who has a very large audience. So I think that is what put him over that tipping point to say, you know what, not going to do it. This time I'm taking action.
Well, could I just ask, though, when did the woman do it? Do you guys remember?
Like I said, she did this when, like, pretty soon within the...
Was it within 3 months of him doing this? Because apparently 3 months is a big deal over there.
Yeah, this came after Maria's...
Okay, so it's within the time frame. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because
He did it, and he said, you know what, no, I'm suing. I mean, it all happened relatively quickly.
Because what happened as a result of that, I think Barcelona?
Mm-hmm.
Madrid, some Spanish team, football team, came out and
said,
we support Nadal.
Yeah,
Real Madrid, yes. We support Nadal and the Prime Minister and the French, Spanish.
Which was really weird.
Rallied
to me.
Around him.
It was weird.
I think.
I mean, because, I guess, like, I don't know.
I think because they feel
she
being
you know
a former minister, she may have, and she is from France,
the place where Nadal,
you know what I mean, with Diva Nadal. Maybe she had access to something, you know, and plus.
Yeah, that's also the assumption, right?
Also, when the French had called out.
Intimate knowledge, yeah.
Right. And when the French had called out Lance Armstrong from the very jump, people didn't want to believe. Everything
I'll tell you why for me it's weird, and I think it's cultural. I think it's cultural to see, you know, all of these sports organizations in Spain coming out to support Rafa because you don't see that in the U.S. If, you know, I mean, for example, Lance Armstrong, when everybody came out and said that he was doping, you didn't see all of American sport rallying around him.
Oh, nobody cares like that. I mean,
that's why it's weird to me because of where I'm from. That's what I'm saying.
Well, but think about that. Think about many of the statements that have been made in support of Rafa from his country over the years. I remember, I think the prince or the king in his country said it was very important that Rafa won Wimbledon. Can you imagine Barack Obama coming out and saying it was important that some athlete won?
It's a whole different atmosphere that I can't understand.
Yeah, I don't know what that. Well, but also because they knew that Rafa was going to be carrying the Olympic flag for Spain.
Yeah, that's my next point. Yeah, you can't have that cloud of suspicion floating around.
An athlete that
you can't have that cloud of suspicion exactly because.
Your entire athletic base, right? So this person's walking, carrying your flag, and there's someone floating some crazy rumors about his cleanliness or non-cleanliness in the sport. I mean, I think that's probably why Rafa felt...
And you know those American commentators wanting twice for saying some shit, and there's Rafa Nadal, but you know, there's a cloud of suspicion.
Nobody, I don't think anybody would have said that, though. I think that's what's interesting about this, is that now it becomes something that we're going to talk about publicly. Whereas before, people just may have just whispered about it, and they
But
you know what? But when you put a case...
You know what's funny?
What?
But what I find interesting, maybe I just don't travel the byways and highways of tennis journalism, I haven't heard and seen, read any think pieces on this matter. Zero. Nil.
I've listened to a couple other podcasts about it. You know, everybody does the thing that everybody does when something like that comes up. They give you the public spiel, but I'm sure they're having a totally different comment offline. I think it depends on what happens as an outcome of the case, because essentially she has to defend herself. So she either has to say that she was trucking in rumors, or she's going to have to prove her statement.
Mm.
So good luck with that. You know, that opens up a whole ball of wax about...
And Reels can read the transcript if they're public.
In a way that nobody else can.
We
all be ready.
So apparently, just looking at some of this thing, if Rafa is proven successful in his claim, he'll be granted, I guess, an injunction preventing those allegations from being repeated by maybe the same person or someone else, and then he'll also be possibly awarded damages.
Ooh.
So
now we wait.
But apparently,
I hope your receipts are correct.
And then he probably can
tennis
say,
cannot deal with another scandal, particularly anywhere near doping.
Well, the interesting thing too, though, is if he can prove that the claims about him has impacted his like finances, like maybe his ability to get sponsorships or whatever, he can even go after more. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I just felt that, you know, that like though these rumors have been floating all day, I don't feel like it has ever hurt Rafa per se. I don't know, you know. I mean, I see a man walking around with $500,000, $750,000 watch on his arm, and I think he's sitting pretty. And he's playing that. I think he's sitting pretty. But however, notwithstanding, you know, having these, you know, unsubstantiated allegations being leveled at you, particularly allegations of this nature, is not cute. And, you know, no amount of money can, you know.
Weird to me about that is that allegations about doping or any of those sorts of things, they hang over anyone who does something too extraordinary. I feel like that's sort of contemporary sports culture.
Yep.
If you're doing something too remarkable for the eyes to believe, you have to be willing to understand that people are going to look at you with suspicion. We're no longer naively watching sports. It's not the 90s.
Except when you're a tennis fan. Except when you're a tennis fan, apparently.
The thing about tennis fans that's interesting is what they say aloud and what they say offline are two different things.
True.
And so, you know, so people listen, if you are a relatively sane person, you damn well know.
You have to question it.
You have to question every remarkable thing that you see happening. You just have to. Because I know that during the summer of Sosa and whatever, and I remember that when I was a kid, the Sosa-McGuire summer, nobody wanted to know what was going on, but it was clear those two mofos were
Clear.
But,
understand that. I was just like,
But they were saving, remember though, they were saving baseball. And so everything, and that's why I think the public understands that people will give a lot of leeway to athletes for going as far to the edge as possible if it's saving their sport. Everyone believes that you're willing to look the other way for the saving graces of your sport, because we understand that it's a horrible marketplace. And, you know, only people who are doing extraordinary things get attention nowadays. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, but the downside is that when you do something extraordinary, I have a right to give you the side eye and be slightly suspicious of it.
And
so,
that's kind of sad, though, isn't it?
It's sad, but you know what? It's sad not... It makes me sad, but not for the athlete, because
for
I
me,
understand...
as a fan, I think that maybe I'm watching something that's not real.
But you know what? Let me just say, I'm a cynical bitch, so I don't believe 90% of the things I watch in sport. Because you know what? Because for me, if you're doing something that's too impossible for me to believe, it's just, I don't get any joy from it. Like, so when I'm watching
That's my point. It's sad.
But some fans get joy, regardless of whether it's fake or not.
Yeah, I'm not that person.
You know what I mean? Like, some fans are like, I know this is impossible, but I don't care because I want to enjoy it. You know what I mean? And they'll come up with all sorts of defense around it. So, you know, I mean, I actually think it's an interesting opportunity to have a conversation about the fact that that's just the nature of the beast. The nature of the beast now is that if you do something extraordinary on a tennis court, a basketball court, a football field, or whatever, people are liable to think that you are being chemically enhanced. And, I mean, that's just the universe we live in. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, people can't say it out loud unless they have proof. But let me just let you know, people are thinking it. I mean, we can't deny that.
They talk about it. They talk about it when they think nobody's listening or recording. It's true.
Except for this French minister who decided to do it on TV.
Yeah, so, you know what?
I guess she didn't think everybody could call it Voulez Francais.
This is my final thought on that.
What?
And it ain't going to be pretty.
What's your final thought?
Before you go, okay?
This ain't regular math where, you know, zero, something from nothing is still nothing, okay? They do negatives, okay? So my broke ass can't be any more broker, okay? So be careful that someone ain't trying to sue me, because thereafter I could speak some English.
I'm just saying that I find it goes along with the whole spiel Andrine just gave about watching something extraordinary and not being able to say that it's real, and you have to doubt it. I don't believe that this woman, I'm not saying that she's got proof, but I don't believe that she, being who she is, and having the stature that she has within the sports society, would say something like that just as a running off.
Recklessly.
I don't believe that. No, I don't.
I think she's like Raymond Moore. She said something that was always said around her. Do you know what
I mean? Possibly. Right. Or she just knows something, even if she knows that nothing is ever going to come of it. I don't believe it was said in hate, to be mean, or to be nasty. Everything, what is it? Every lies, or every something, what's the term, is based in a little bit of truth?
I don't know, but we don't know which part is true.
Right,
that Rafa Nadal does exist. Yes.
It came from somewhere. She didn't pull it out of her ass.
What I'm saying is that she basically mentioned a comment, or she did something that people traditionally probably talk about offline, which is why the Ray Moore thing, which is why I think that Ray Moore comfortably said the things he said about women in tennis because he's had that conversation before with others. And that's why he felt comfortable saying that in the room. Do you know what I mean? You know what to say in a room and what not to say. And so that's something that she's probably heard tossed around quite a bit and just felt very comfortable throwing out in the public space like that. But she has to be careful, because you can't toss something like that out in a public space when you have a title as someone who used to be a fairly high level in the sport. You got to be able to pay to play. You got to pay to say. You got to pay to say things. And Rafa's going to let her pay to say shit that she don't have no proof of. And if she does have proof, then she can show her receipts at the court hearing. And we'll be looking forward. And we'll be looking forward to reading her receipts. And if she doesn't have any receipts, then she's about to learn.
Gonna be a broke man.
You're about to pay. You know what? And you know, Rafa, since that money is only extra excess, could you give us some, please, boo?
And maybe you don't even have to pay taxes on it, Rafa. So go collect your paper if you can. This is gonna be very helpful for tennis, I say.
Okay, so just to before we, I don't know if Madam Foreign Janina, did we cover everything? Are we missing something or someone?
We'd like to talk about Serena. She's not playing tennis, but she's clearly slaying elsewhere.
Yeah, her fans are
y'all
getting...
You know what? I'm just going to put this out here, people.
What?
I ain't part of the beehive. I'm nowhere near the beehive.
That's all right.
Nowhere near the beehive.
That's all right. You ain't got to be. I'm going to tell you what I loved about that.
Mm-hmm. The lemonade?
The lemonade. The guest role of Serena in I'm Sorry. The beauty of that was if you take away the music, you take away the lyrics, and you just watch it, just the visuals, that was two very powerful women paying homage to each other. Beyonce sat in that crown just like Serena did on the Sports Illustrated cover. I'm the queen. That's what she did. Beyonce is known for her movement, we'll call it, the ass shaking. And Serena took on her role. That was powerful for me. That's what I saw. I saw two very strong, beautiful black women paying respect to each other. That's what I saw.
For conquering the white world with their asses, essentially, right?
Their talent.
Yes,
well, it's true. I mean, that's a rather interesting point. You know, they're like the Oprah of their genre, right?
Yeah, they're basically queens within their genre, and they do it in a way that's unapologetic, or recently more unapologetic for Beyonce, because I think that Serena has always been off-putting to the establishment that she's entering. I think Beyonce was not always that way. She was always sort of more palatable, but she's now really emerging as this kind of strong, I'd say, black woman force. That's a very new turn. So I think Janina makes a very valid point about the sort of nods that they were both giving to each other, which was good. That was great.
I loved it. I loved it. And it has produced one of the best gifts ever, the boy guy. Love it.
What do you think, Real, since you're not a beehive person?
Girl, I drink fresh squeezed orange juice, not lemonade.
Well, you know, the good thing about it is that, let's be honest, that this...
That was shady. Honest to God, I saw the lemonade on the HBO Go, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was something completely different. I was like, what the fuck is lemonade? Didn't hear anything about this lemonade. And then I think it was Janina.
It was all about lemonade.
Janina mentioned it, you know. She was just I stayed up all night just like, oh, is this what that was? And then it was a 24-hour event, and I was just like, you know what? Beyonce, you're going to have to miss me with this. I'm not going to be buying into your madness and hype and, you know, like, everything, like, you know, like, you're bringing down fresh gospel from somewhere. I just couldn't. But, you know, I didn't need to because, you know, everybody else talked about it. There were think pieces and all this, whatever the case to me. None of them as succinct as you, Janina, because, you know, apparently, you know, everybody got to put, you know, everybody got to dissect every second, you know, and I just can't, you know. Fresh squeezed orange juice for me. No lemonade. You know what? I am happy for the Serena bit, because I think that is a very interesting and valid point, and that's a very strong and interesting and wonderful thing to put out there. It's, you know, that women of color, particularly when they're in the sort of roles of the traditionally white world, whatever the case may be, they have to always try to do something else and be something else, you know, try to play some type of role, stereotype role. But these women are conquering and slaying it, and they're unapologetic about it. And Serena did it first in tennis. And about the lemonade, just one little tiny bit, you know, reason. You know, Beyonce, I think you stole my term Becky. Because I always had a Becky from Ohio. You know, I don't know where you get. Becky always had quote unquote good hair, but you know.
Can we have a side conversation about that for a quick second?
Yes.
What's really interesting about Becky, though, this notion about Becky being white, is funny. Because I know that we traditionally don't refer to white women as having necessarily good hair.
Good hair, I know.
So this notion, this idea that white women have sort of jumped on this in defense of Becky thing, I'm like, you don't even have all the information. Good hair is something that is talked about amongst people.
So Beyonce, baby girl, you got your good hair Becky confused with my Becky from Ohio.
But you know what? I think that
Janina,
is Becky with the good hair, okay?
I am not a Becky. But I think that I think the internet took that and ran away with it.
Oh my God.
I think white internet took it and got confused.
When I heard it, the first time, when I sat here with my headphones on, because I'm going to be honest with you, Sam's Biceps sent me a message. Don't forget, tonight is Lemonade. Don't forget to watch it. I said, okay, I'll
watch. Had someone sent me that, I'd be like, listen, what do you mean, don't forget to buy Lemonade? What the fuck are you talking about? Are you
hey, but here's the thing. I forgot to watch it. So, it had been over.
Tell them what you were
hour.
Watching, Janina. Tell the truth. Speak the truth and shame. What were you
the
watching?
The truth is, I was watching Happy Valley. Very good.
Netflix, people. Get into it.
Watch it. Good
get
stuff.
Into it.
So about an hour after it's over, I get a message. Okay, what's it all about? I said, oh, shit, I didn't watch it. Going to watch it now. So I turn it on, and I'm thinking, I didn't know what it was going to be, you know, more than anybody else. And I hadn't been on the internet to hear all of the instant reactions.
The buzzing.
Yeah. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, I'm not going to watch all this. And it wasn't even, it was like an hour long, and I thought, I'm not going to watch it. I couldn't turn away. I was like, oh, shit. Bay is mad, and I am here for it all.
Love the drama. Look at this drama queen. Look at this drama queen. Drama queen from Ohio.
I said, Jay, I don't know what you did, but motherfucker, she going hard on you. Hard.
And then because there was no place for white women to enter, they entered with Becky.
What I was going to say was, when I heard that line, I didn't think white woman. I didn't think.
Of course not. Why would you?
I thought, side chick, hello.
I know, exactly.
So, you know what? Why the white people always got to come and try to claim our shit? Back off.
Oh, no. But I'm going to let those people think that they're defending some white Becky. But because that's not
no,
what it's about.
No, white Becky is from Ohio, okay?
Well,
not Becky with
the
good hair.
Let's just let people know that most likely good hair does not refer to a white woman. And
right.
If you want to take it there.
Not most likely, never.
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 Y'all
I
got
to let 100 hair people. But don't know. I mean, like, oh my God. Like, this is just like.
Of Becky. This album is not for you. It's just meant for
it's
you
not.
To observe
well,
it.
You know what? You know what?
And
this album
what
is for you.
Is.
Buy it. You know what? Buy
well,
it.
It's buy
but
of
the
course,
album
you know, Beyonce doesn't care. But it's not about you. It's not about Becky that you know. It's not about your friend Becky who's named Becky, because that's not what it's about. So, take a step
get
back.
Over yourself.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. But beyond that, to wrap this up and bring it back to tennis, calm down, because at the end of the day, Serena Williams is 34 years old. She ain't gonna play tennis forever. She's not. She hasn't been around for a long time. She'll be back.
She's letting y'all adjust, though.
She's warming you up.
She's
warming you up. And you know
hey,
what?
Tennis, you know what you need to do? You need to get some of these dull ladies, you know, uninterested men, scrubs, astronauts, the likes around them, zhuzh them up a little bit, get their janky ass, you gotta throw that word in, their janky ass together.
No, you know what? No. You know what? What it's just letting you know, I have to say that this is just it's a good moment for us to appreciate how lucky we have been.
Yes.
We have been very lucky to have the generation of people that we have been watching, because as much as I've been enjoying the transition period that we're in, it's nothing compared to what we have had. And so
I know, right? The lovely 2000 where you had the Belgians, the Russian, the Americans, all those wonderful ladies, and the Swiss lady up in there too. I mean, it's wonderful. So, you know, I'm not complaining. But, you know, to end on an even better note, Janina.
Yes, sir.
Becky with the good hair.
It's this one. Most likely Becky with the good hair is this half these that we have to bring on our podcast all the time. Janina, how come we're always attacking your white side? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
That ain't me, Janina. That ain't me. It ain't me.
We're never going to attack
but
your
know,
white side. We love
that's not true. I call you Kato Kaelin all the time. I do.
But now you've just graduated to calling her Becky.
With the good hair.
Y'all better leave my hair alone.
Anyway, I love your hair. I love your hair.
Beyonce's jealous of your hair. That's why she's like, you know, screw it.
She might try to cut it off to me next. Stay away from Beyonce. She's been wearing that shit. Next week.
So, I ain't got no weave either. I just want to say.
I know. That's why Beyonce is upset. She's like, I'm tired of these lace fronts. Why are you going out and hanging out with Becky with the good hair? You know what I had to do with this lace front?
You know what? It's because Jake can run his fingers through her hair. And you can't run your fingers through. You gotta hook up in some tracks or something. But anyway.
Oh, man, you're feeling the woman's pain.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Bring it back.
Let's bring it back.
Okay. We were trying to keep this nice and tight, you know? We're really getting down and dirty. But anyway, to end on a nice, soft note, before we end on a nice soft note, people don't forget to comment below. You know, we're on YouTube, we're on Podbean, we're on iTunes. And thank you for all those who are listening and all those who are following us on Podbean. We really enjoy your comments and love your appreciation. Even the silent listeners and the copycats, you know, we do love you. Like we said, if you don't want to give us the credit, send us a check, please.
You know, one of these days that you're requesting checks, you're going to have to give it an address. So get yourself a name.
Oh, you know, put a comment section and be like, Reels, hit me up. I got some dollar signs for you. Look, if you really want to give me some check, you know there's no obstacles to give away money, okay? Don't even try it. But anyway, we'll my information will be below. But anyway, I want to end on a nice off note is that, who the hell? Hold on, wait. It might be some tennis news. No, it's not some tennis news. God, somebody needs to stop. Anyway, on a nice off note, let me thank Tian Nerv Chong for telling us that, you know, Zheng Ji had a baby. She had a 1-month baby.
Great news.
I mean, like, first of all, I didn't even know Zheng Ji was missing.
She was pregnant.
I mean, I know she's small and I might miss her. But, you know, I just figure, you know, Zheng Ji's out in the byways and the highways paying 125K or something. What new homegirl is out? They getting pregnant at nine months. Like, she had to be away for like 9 months legit.
We didn't even know.
I didn't even know. Zheng Ji, you know I enjoy you. You know I live for you giving Serena horrors. I live You give Alize Cornet the strength to think that she could take her basic
game. I'll always remember Zheng Ji when she beat Sam Stosur in Australia. She lost the first set, but she was like, I'm still in this.
Look. And don't sleep on Zheng Ji. She is an Australian Open semifinals and a Wimbledon semifinals.
I always will love that Wimbledon semifinal run. I love that. And then I saw her at Eastbourne and she was wonderful. So Zheng Ji, congratulations. I'm sure you have no idea
and
who
in 2012,
we are.
She almost halted this new and improved Serena. Had she taken out Serena in that third round in Wimbledon, you wouldn't have probably seen Patrick wouldn't have been all that famous, right? He would have gotten right-ended by another wench. But, you know, Zheng Ji, congratulations, girl. You look so beautiful and so excited with your baby. We're so happy for you. I don't know the baby's name, but hopefully it's Reels, you know? I mean,
I should hope she's not naming her baby
Reels. You are out of control. I'm cutting
you off. Congratulations, Jenny. And thank you, ladies, for being with us tonight. We have had a wonderful podcast. You see, sometimes redoing it is so much better when you're doing it a second time, you know?
Anyway, it's fun to catch up on the tennis.
So don't forget to comment below. And, you know, thanks for all the support, people.
Leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Always appreciated for that.
Yes. Janina has always been stressing that. And for those who have, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And for those who are silent listeners, please, if you don't give us the credit, please give us a check. Okay. Thank you. Good day if you're a listener.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.